Good morning. It's April 2nd, and this is your daily brief in U.S. news. Here's everything you need to know. At a NATO conference in Lithuania this year, a disturbing incident unfolded as a U.S. official reported symptoms eerily similar to those of Havana syndrome, a mysterious condition that has puzzled and alarmed the international community. This case adds a new chapter to the ongoing saga of what might be a covert form of aggression against diplomatic and intelligence personnel. The Pentagon has made a significant revelation, linking these symptoms to Russia's military intelligence unit 29155, known for its involvement in developing non-lethal acoustic weapons. This connection marks a departure from previous beliefs, suggesting a foreign state, specifically Russia, could indeed be orchestrating these attacks. Intriguingly, the investigation also proposes that the syndrome's origins might trace back to Germany, not Cuba as initially thought. In an effort to understand the syndrome's causes, the National Institute of Health conducted studies but found no concrete evidence of brain injuries. Instead, they attributed the symptoms to a combination of pre-existing conditions, conventional illnesses, and environmental factors. Despite these findings, the narrative of potential attacks has gained traction, leading the U.S. Congress to pass the Havana Act in 2021. This legislation aims to provide financial support to the affected individuals and their families, underlining the seriousness with which the U.S. government is taking these reports. The Kremlin has outright dismissed these allegations as unfounded, yet the U.S. intelligence community remains vigilant. The ongoing investigation into the use of directed energy weapons highlights a growing concern over the safety and well-being of U.S. and allied personnel abroad. The situation underscores the complexity of modern warfare and espionage, where the battle lines are invisible, and the weapons, potentially, are as silent as they are harmful. In a dramatic turn of events, former President Donald Trump's media venture, TMTG, has reported a staggering loss of $58.2 million in 2023. This marks a sharp reversal from the previous year's profit of $50.5 million, spotlighting the volatile nature of the tech and media industry. TMTG, the parent company of Truth Social, Trump's answer to mainstream social media platforms, has not only seen its finances dip into the red but also anticipates continued challenges. The company is bracing for ongoing operating losses and negative cash flows as it strives to broaden its user base and attract more advertisers. Despite an uptick in revenue to $4.13 million, the company's cash reserves were worryingly low at just $2.6 million by the end of 2023. The financial roller coaster didn't stop there. TMTG's stock, after an initial surge to nearly $80 per share, experienced a sharp decline, closing at $48.66 on Monday, a 21.5% drop from the previous Friday. This downturn erased $4 billion in market value for the company and reduced Trump's stake by $2.5 billion. The stock's plunge to as low as $45.26 during Monday's trading session underscores the significant financial pressures facing the company. Investors' concerns are mounting over the platform's lack of profitability and its relatively small user base. This skepticism has cast a long shadow over TMTG's growth prospects, leaving the future of Truth Social hanging in the balance. Will it manage a dramatic comeback, or is this the beginning of a continued decline? Only time will tell, but for now, the uncertainty is palpable. In a shocking turn of events, a collision involving a cargo ship and the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore has led to a tragic loss and a significant logistical challenge. The aftermath of this incident has sparked a multi-agency response, including efforts from the U.S. Coast Guard and local and federal governments, to mitigate the impact and begin the recovery process. Following the collision, which caused the bridge to collapse into the Patapsco River, killing four workers, the U.S. Coast Guard swiftly established a temporary channel. This channel is crucial for vessels tasked with clearing the massive amounts of steel and concrete debris now obstructing the waterway. Maryland Governor Wes Moore has expressed that the immediate focus is on recovering the bodies of the deceased workers, with the secondary goal of reopening shipping channels to the vital port of Baltimore. The scope of the salvage operation has attracted national attention, prompting President Joe Biden to schedule a visit to the site. He plans to meet with state and local officials to fully grasp the situation's magnitude. In response to the disaster, the federal government has released $60 million in initial funding for the cleanup efforts. Additionally, discussions are ongoing about providing aid packages to support those affected by the port's closure, emphasizing the profound economic impact this incident has had. The Port of Baltimore, known for handling more cars and farm equipment than any other U.S. facility, now faces a daunting path to recovery. With potential job and business losses on the horizon, Congress is considering further aid packages. Despite these challenges, Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott remains optimistic about the city and its port's ability to rebound from this catastrophe. In a startling revelation, AT&T Incorporated has confirmed a massive data breach, putting the personal information of over 70 million customers at risk. This incident marks a significant challenge for the telecommunications giant and its users alike. The breach has exposed a wide range of sensitive information, including names, birthdays, email addresses, phone numbers, social security numbers, and account numbers. The data pertains to both current and former customers, specifically affecting 7.6 million current account holders and a staggering 65.4 million former users. The compromised information dates back to 2019 and earlier and has alarmingly been discovered on the dark web. In response to this crisis, AT&T is taking several steps to mitigate the damage and protect its customers. The company is in the process of notifying those affected by the breach. Additionally, it has reset passcodes and is offering complimentary identity theft and credit monitoring services to help safeguard customers' financial and personal information. This breach follows a widespread service outage in February, which impacted over 1.7 million users, underscoring the challenges AT&T faces in maintaining its cybersecurity. The fallout from the breach has also had a tangible impact on AT&T's stock, which saw a 0.6% dip on Monday. CEO John Stankey has publicly emphasized the company's commitment to enhancing its security measures, stating the need to react, adapt, and improve in order to meet customer expectations in the digital age. As the investigation with cybersecurity experts continues, AT&T urges its customers to take proactive steps to protect their personal information and remain vigilant against scammers posing as representatives of the company. In a dramatic turn of events, disgraced former lawyer Alex Murdaugh has been handed down an additional 40-year sentence in federal prison by Judge Richard Gergel. This sentence comes on top of his existing life sentences for the murder of his wife and son, marking a significant moment in South Carolina's legal history for white-collar crime. Murdaugh's crimes, including money laundering, bank fraud, and wire fraud, affected 27 victims and involved the theft of $10 million, with $6 million still missing. The severity of the sentence underscores the betrayal of trust at the heart of Murdaugh's actions. Judge Gergel emphasized this point, dismissing the argument that Murdaugh's drug addiction was a mitigating factor. Instead, the focus was on the profound impact of Murdaugh's crimes on his victims, who were vulnerable and had placed their trust in him. The courtroom, filled with law enforcement officials, federal prosecutors, and representatives from Murdaugh's former law firm, bore witness to the gravity of the sentencing. Murdaugh has been ordered to pay nearly $9 million in restitution, a sum that reflects the financial devastation wrought by his crimes. Meanwhile, federal authorities continue to investigate the missing funds and Murdaugh's potential accomplices. This case has not only captured the public's attention, but has also generated a significant amount of media content, including documentaries, podcasts, and social media discussions. The ongoing investigations and appeals in the murder cases suggest that this saga is far from over. In delivering one of the harshest sentences for a white-collar criminal in South Carolina, Judge Gergel sent a clear message about the consequences of abusing one's position of trust. This case serves as a stark warning to professionals everywhere about the severe repercussions of betraying client trust. Murdaugh's apology and attempt to attribute his actions to opioid addiction did little to mitigate the judge's decision, highlighting the expectation of accountability, regardless of personal circumstances. The case continues to unfold, with the legal system and the court of public opinion closely watching every development. This has been your daily brief in U.S. news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.